$100,000. Now, text the keyword BILLS to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's BILLS to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Hey, we've made it to Friday. Congratulations, everybody. How you doing? Michael Riedel, what's up,
thank
kid?
Thank God it is Friday. It is. Thank God it's Friday. And
well,
you know what?
It's been some week. It's been a crazy week with the Korea and the hostages and any number of things at the
Iran
White House.
And Israel are
and
now
Schneiderman
bombing
and
the crap out of each other.
On and on. And the Newswatch never... Oh, I heard that somewhere. The Newswatch. I shouldn't use that line.
No, huh? No, no, no. And you know what Mike Pence says?
What does Mike Pence say?
Wrap it up.
He says
wrap
enough.
It
he
up.
He says enough already.
It's been about a year since this investigation began. Our administration has provided over 1 million documents. We've fully cooperated in it. And in the interest of the country, I think it's time to wrap it up. And I would very respectfully encourage the special counsel and his team to bring their work to completion.
Well, I guess the left-wing networks were really going after Pence yesterday. did you hear all that stuff?
No, but Pence, the underlying thing he's saying is, let's wrap it up. So that we can find that Trump did collude with the Russians. He's out of office, and you call me President Mike Pence.
They kept playing sound bites of his. I was at CNN and other places about all the... Pence has been a big Trump supporter publicly, and he keeps talking about what a great heart and big shoulders he has. They kept putting these lines together, big shoulders, and big shoulders, and big shoulders. They kept doing a montage of Pence. I guess you didn't watch. Joe was too busy golfing.
Why are they ridiculing him?
I think they're saying how he's a real supporter. You know, they're playing
so
off this
what?
Bite. How much he supports the president publicly. I would hope he would.
But in all seriousness, he has a point, Len. All right, this investigation is now, what, going into year two?
Yeah.
Mueller has got to come out with something so this country can move forward. The president has a lot of stuff to deal with. He's got to deal with Korea. He's got to deal with Iran. He's got to deal with a war that is possibly brewing in the Middle East. And he's been distracted by all of this nonsense investigation. Is it just going to drag on forever? Is there no end in sight for this?
Oh, I feel so sorry for the... He's busy tweeting about fiddly D and fiddly dumb, and you say he's distracted by Mueller. Do you think he's giving 2 seconds of thought to Mueller? He's watching Fox and Friends. They're not talking about Mueller.
Well, that's true. If he's watching Fox and Friends, he doesn't even know there's an investigation going on, probably.
don't tell me about the president's distraction, because I don't think, and this is just factual, I don't think he has a long attention span. Do you think he does?
No, but I think that's a sign of his ability to improvise and to make a deal with Korea and win a Nobel Peace Prize. All right,
look at all he's accomplished, Len.
Yeah,
is a guy. I mean, first time he runs for president, he gets elected.
So that's the accomplishment. He got elected.
Yeah.
First president to have a summit with North Korea.
Yeah, all that he's accomplished is, and the big accomplishment is he got elected.
What's the unemployment rate?
Yeah, look at what he's done for the country.
Okay, so the unemployment rate has continued the plunge that started during the Obama administration. Oh, okay, go ahead. What's next?
Please, give me a break.
Tee him up for me. What's give next? Three hostages came home.
That's good.
From North Korea.
That's great. A summit with North Korea. Let's not overlook that.
Tax cuts.
Jury's out on tax cuts. Who's it helping exactly? I don't. You know, the middle class guy. I don't
you.
See. Is it really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
Mr. Sand's point.
Yeah. What do you think? Oh, it's helping. Oh, you're saying I'm a 1%.
You are.
No, it's the corporate. It's the people who run businesses who are making out. He cut the corporate tax rate.
Well, that's good.
Exactly. You
why
cut
is
the
that
corporate
good? They're
because
not passing
they hire
it on to
people.
You. Oh, they did not, and
yes,
have not.
The unemployment rate. My God.
The employment rate started to drop precipitously under Obama, and now it's just continuing.
Precipitously.
Not precipitously.
Yes, absolutely. Come on. All he's accomplished. He says that, and now you guys are parroting it. You guys are like a couple of
parrots
on shoulders of pirates. I mean,
would you say he hasn't done anything?
I didn't say he didn't do any. Let's start all over.
You
said all he's accomplished, and the first thing you said, he got elected president. Well, that's a hell of an accomplishment. Every president's been elected president.
But you were criticizing him for his short attention span.
He does have a short attention
span. But you know what? He focused long enough to win the election.
Yeah.
Look at, you know, look at Hillary. Well, I don't want to go to Hillary.
Go to Hillary.
No.
Go to Hillary, your pantsuit brigade that couldn't bother to go to Wisconsin and Michigan.
Hey, our big three stories. Talk about a short attention span. That would be me. The heavyweight championship fight is all set now. It's June the 12th. President Trump and Kim Jong-un. Does sound like a boxing. It needs a name, you know, like Thrill in Manila, Smackdown in Singapore. What do you think? We need a name for this summit meeting. You're good at words. All right, think about it.
Cut them up in Korea?
The Korea Karaoke. Something. Needs something. Needs some alliteration. Also in the
Gangnam Style in Korea. Song of Singapore.
Also in the Big Three. Now they all got along. This is lovely. Governor Cuomo and Cyrus Vance, they were together, along with the DA from Nassau County. Now they're all on the same page regarding Eric Schneider. But by the way, you're asking about him leaving his apartment and getting back in.
Schneiderman, yeah.
Apparently he was sneaking in through the service entrance. And he used some, what?
He was a painter.
He used some guy working at the building as his cover.
A guy was painting, yeah. He said, will you please protect me from the press so I can get in and out of my building, he says
exactly.
To the painter.
Exactly.
What a gumball shit.
And rounding out the big three, as we just mentioned, Mike Pence says it's time to get this Mueller investigation over with. Get on with life.
Wait, I want to go back to Cuomo and Vance, though.
Okay.
Because Joe has insight into Cuomo, having covered Albany all those years. My sense, Joe, is that Andrew Cuomo has contempt for everybody but himself. And everyone hates Cuomo in Albany.
Yeah, well,
I mean, he's
not well liked. Yeah,
you know what? It's a Cuomocracy. He doesn't really believe in any parties. He believes in himself.
What's
as some sort of
what's a Cuomocracy?
A Cuomo. I think he thinks he should be an enlightened philosopher king. I don't think
does want absolute control,
power, total.
He does
power.
Want absolute control
that as opposed to who?
I don't know. Oh, come on, Len.
Are you kidding me? That is come on. That's not Trump?
Why do you go back? We're not talking about Trump. We spent the first 10 minutes talking about Trump.
You just gloss over.
We're moving on to Cuomo.
You guys just gloss over any of Trump's imperfections and think he's like king of the world.
Why are you switching the topic to Trump?
Well, because it's the same thing. You're claiming that Cuomo wants absolute power, and that sums up Trump in a heartbeat.
I don't think so.
Oh, stop.
I don't think so.
He has no respect for Congress, no respect for the judicial system. Oh, stop.
That is not true.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
He doesn't know much about Congress or the judicial system. It's not that he has no respect for them.
And the other guy doesn't want a Trumpocracy. Okay, go ahead. Talk about take your little shot at Cuomo.
Let's go back to Cuomo.
So, yeah, but he does really want absolute control.
Yep.
And no one really, I don't, he really doesn't have, like, I think supporters or a constituency.
But, I don't get the sense that any of the Democrats like him either.
No, but you have to go along with him. Otherwise, you know, he can crush you. And I've talked to a number of legislators. They call him, we'll see what the king wants to do.
They call him the king.
Well, yeah, because, you know, they want to do something, but, they're afraid to do anything on their own unless they get a nod of approval from Cuomo. Yeah.
Well, I think Cyrus Vance hates him, and I think he hates Cy Vance, and they were making
the other
up
thing,
for...
too, this is his attempt to control how that investigation goes.
Well, how'd they get back together, Joe? Well, somebody was the force here, and I don't think it was Cuomo. I think it was Vance. Somebody, was there someone in the Democratic Party? Somebody said, hey, you kids gotta play nice.
I think Vance realized that he was sort of out of bounds here because he could not do it because of that conflict of interest.
Vance is a putz. That guy is pathetic. The only reason he gets elected again and again is because no one ever runs against him.
Really? Oh, well, listen, they had that kumbaya moment yesterday.
Perception is a tricky factor in the equation. But you want to avoid even the appearance or perception of a conflict.
So there you go. Taking the high road there.
Governor Cynthia Nixon, please.
Well, Vance played right along.
I completely understand the governor's decision, and the public deserves to have confidence that there is no conflict involved in our office's representation. I believe the best end result here is for Madeline to investigate these cases in Manhattan.
That would be Madeline Singus, yes. The Nassau. So it's interesting. He says, well, the best outcome is for the Nassau County DA to investigate what's going on in Manhattan. Do you think he really believes that? He was gritting his teeth while saying that.
He sounded like Cuomo had just wrung his neck before they went out in front of the cameras.
Like, he sounded like he was in a hostage video. That's what he sounded like.
He came out on the short end of that stick.
He is pathetic, Vance.
Hey, we got pathetic. Mets tickets coming your way. Not only Mets tickets, there are Mets-Yankees tickets coming up at 7:30. We have more tickets for you at 8:30. We got some great guests today. Joe Neumeier is going to review the new Melissa McCarthy movie. Dr. Rossini.
Mother's Day.
Yeah, she has a mother. A very interesting story. Remember the name Mary Alice Williams?
Yeah.
Newscaster, been around for a long, long time. Alice talked to Mary Alice about motherhood. Fascinating interview that you're going to want to hear later this morning.
I wonder how Mary Alice feels when you just said she's been around a long, long, long time.
Well, so have I. People say that about me all the time. You've been around forever.
I'm working with a mummy here.
Give someone else a chance. Today is National Twilight Zone
Day. Oh, yes. Now that's good. So that's good.
So we got to talk
about... Do you have the Twilight Zone theme?
Do I have the Twilight Zone theme?
Ooh, yes.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension, a dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and...
All right, that's this.
All right, listen, but Len and I are going to give you our favorite Twilight episodes as we go on. If you have yours, give us a call at 1-800-321-0710, 1-800-321-0710. We want to know what your favorite Twilight Zone episode is.
We have audio of mine, so you better go find audio of yours.
Oh, I don't know what yours is. Don't tell me what yours is.
Okay, fine. I told you yesterday on the air. You probably weren't listening.
I remember. Okay.
And by the way, thanks for the book. Really appreciate it.
Oh, shoot. I forgot about that.
You are the worst. I can't.
Is that unbelievable? Is that unbelievable, folks? Last week, we said on the air, we're going to exchange our books. I wrote a New York Times bestseller called Greatest Moments in Sports. You wrote a New York Times bestseller called Razzle Dazzle. Or you claim.
He obviously does not think of you when he walks out of the studio at all. Just forgets about you. You're done.
So we promise we're going to bring the books the next day. I brought in a personally autographed copy of my book for you.
It's true.
And where's your book? I don't think you wrote a book.
Well, the funny thing
is, I think it's all razzle
dazzle. I have to be totally honest with you. I did get a book out and I sent it to Don Imus. But I have one for you.
Unbelievable. Hey, when we turn, six people are hurt. A car slammed into a Chelsea deli. Ow. Wait till you hear what the people said from inside. Oh, you want a grand in your hand? That's coming up at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. Bernie Vider, traffic.
Happy Friday, everybody. And happy Mother's Day. We're going to check in with WOR's Ray Stajic to get the forecast for the weekend. But first, really terrible car accident in Chelsea, not too far from where I live, actually. A taxi cab collided with a livery cab. It sent the livery cab into a grocery store at West 21st Street and 8th Avenue. Six people were injured, including the 28-year-old driver of the livery cab. Nobody killed, fortunately, but that's got to have been scary. The car went colliding right into the grocery store there. I know that grocery store on the corner of 21st and 8th Avenue. Yeah.
I was just waiting by the counter. I put my products up there, and next thing I know, I heard a pow, and I heard people screaming, and I turned around towards the door, and I just saw this car coming maybe about 20, 30 miles per hour.
That's got to be scary. You're in a deli and pow, and here comes a car.
Five pedestrians injured, a 56-year-old mother and her 13-year-old son, a 62-year-old man, and a 41-year-old man, and as I said, the 28-year-old livery cab driver also injured.
Do we know if any of the injuries are very serious?
Yes, a couple of them are serious, but fortunately nobody is dead. The car was going about 25 to 30 miles per hour when it just crashed right into the grocery store.
My quick instinct was just to run to the back of the store. I just knew I was dead. Just the way the speed was going. You know, thank God there was a pole right there to stop the car right there.
Oh, thank God for the pole.
Yeah, thank God
for
the pole.
So now we have council speaker, the new council speaker, Corey Johnson. I was there.
How was he there?
Well, it sounds like...
He may live around the area.
Well, but it also sounds like maybe now he's taking a more active role in things that happen around the city. I don't know. You know, the way, you know, the police chief will show up or the fire chief will show up for big incidents or the mayor or the governor, maybe the council speaker, Corey Johnson.
It could have been. We don't know yet. A red light that was run because it looks like there was a collision that happened in the intersection, which pushed... the non-yellow cab onto the sidewalk.
Well, a woman was pinned against the hood of the car that crashed into the delicatessen there. We saw the lady on top. Very scary, one witness said. Firefighters, EMS quickly swarmed the place, removed the woman. And as I say, six people were injured, a couple of them seriously.
People were rushing to her aid. She wasn't moving. It certainly seemed like people were trying to talk to her and make sure that she was okay as best they could. People were screaming to call 911.
Wow, what a tough thing.
Yeah. What are you, you're shopping, all of a sudden a car comes through the window?
What time of day was this?
It was...
Do we know?
I'm not
Joe,
sure.
Joe, do we know what time of day this happened?
I don't know.
Yeah. Here it is. I got it. It happened just before 7:30. So a lot of people are there, obviously. 7:30 on a beautiful evening. You
know? Yeah.
Yep.
Stopping by to get some toilet paper on your way home.
Yeah.
And get hit by a car. All right. Let's go to WOR's meteorologist Ray Stajic to check in on the weather this weekend. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, gentlemen.
All right. Is my mother, well, she lives in Florida, so it doesn't matter what the weather is up here.
Yeah, we don't care about Florida.
Is Natalie, who's a happy mother, is she going to be happy with the weather on Sunday?
She sleeps in, which she should be allowed to do.
Nah, that doesn't happen in her house.
No, it doesn't.
Ray?
Ray,
yes.
Tell us.
Yes?
I'm going to be on a soccer field, Ray. Oh. Am I going to need rain gear?
What time?
2:00.
No, you might get lucky.
Okay.
Ooh. I think shower. Oh, you're getting lucky Sunday, Natalie.
Well,
does Chris know?
Please, don't do it on the soccer field. Have a little discretion, Natalie.
That would make news.
probably. I don't even know what that means, but yes. Showers, hopefully trying to taper off in the first part of Sunday. Most of our wet weather coming this weekend is going to be tomorrow. We'll get probably few hours of rain tomorrow morning and showers, and then maybe a little low with just widely scattered showers midday through early afternoon, then maybe another round of showers and rain accompanied by maybe some thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon and evening. So between tomorrow and tomorrow night, that's when most of our rain comes in.
Oh, wait a second. Is this a misprint? Your high for Mother's Day is in the upper 50s? Must be a misprint.
No, it's not.
Well, does Mother Nature, what's wrong with her? It's Mother's Day, Mother Nature. Come on.
Yeah,
the worst day seems to be 60s. Sunday.
Yeah. Well, in terms of temperatures, yes. In terms of precip, tomorrow looks like the worst day.
Really? What a washout.
Yeah, it's, you know, the rain's not blowing sideways or anything, but just kind of miserable out there with the clouds and the showers scattered around. You might get an hour or two where you're kind of like, oh, is it going to stop raining? And then it comes back again. That's
this
Riedel,
is terrible.
Can we blame the messenger on this?
Sure.
I think it's your fault. It's your fault, Stacey.
Ray, this is very annoying. My girlfriend and I were planning a bike. We were planning a bike ride around Manhattan tomorrow.
Well,
apparently, that's not
bring happening. Your rain gear. You can bike in the rain.
Yeah, you can. Why not? No. You can sing in the rain, right?
I do. Actually, I love to sing in the rain.
Stop. No.
No.
Da,
da, da, da, you know da, I did da, that. Da, you da, know da, I did that on purpose.
You did do that on purpose.
Hey, Ray. Maybe you'll be wrong, and we'll all get lucky with the weather.
Maybe I'll be wrong.
Okay.
Listen to that. Maybe.
All right, Ray Stajic.
Thanks, Ray.
WOR's meteorologist bringing us the grim, sad news for a
yucky weekend.
Saturday.
Yeah.
All right, and let's get some. I don't know if we get better news, but we'll get some news from Joe Bartlett at 6:30.
Oh, this is great news, Michael. President Trump says he's going to make a great deal for the world.
Woo! Well, there you go.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't get better than that.
Speaking at a rally in Indiana last night, Trump said he looks forward to that meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un next month.
We're not going to be walked into an Iran deal where the negotiator, John Kerry, refused to leave the table.
I love it. Stick it right to old Kerry, who's violating the Logan Act by secretly negotiating as a private citizen.
That's right.
With Iran.
As soon as John Kerry got involved in these talks with Iran, I knew Trump would go the other way.
That's right.
The meeting with Kim set for June 12th in Singapore. And we have another issue at the White House. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen reportedly thought about resigning after she got a tongue-lashing from the president. New York Times says Trump yelled at her in front of the entire cabinet, saying she hasn't done enough to secure the border.
She's a hottie, though. How can you yell at the Homeland hottie?
I know, and I mean, why would you yell at her?
She's cute.
So cute. Yeah, I know. She apparently wrote a letter of resignation, but never submitted it.
What do you call her? The Homeland hottie?
Yeah, she's Secretary of Homeland.
Is that her nickname?
The Homeland hottie.
For Michael, maybe.
Oops, I'm in trouble.
Is that like Maria Bartiromo, the money honey?
The money honey.
The Homeland honey?
Homeland.
Yeah, can we use these kind of phrases?
You can't say this. This isn't Mad Men. You can't say stuff like this.
I'm not going to remind you what you said yesterday.
No. Let's let that lie. Yeah. Sleeping dogs should lie. Yesterday was old news.
Exactly.
Could Preet Bharara be the next attorney general in New York? The former U.S. attorney talked about it on his podcast, saying, "We'll see what happens."
But it is a really important job, and it's especially important now when the rule of law is under attack, when we still have pockets of corruption everywhere you look. So it's a tough thing to think about.
Yeah, who even knew this guy was around? But he apparently has a podcast.
Oh, no. You don't watch CNN, Joe. He pops up a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not as often as Avenatti.
No, you know, Avenatti. They've changed the name of the network to C-A-N.
Jury deliberations have begun in the corruption retrial of former Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, accused of using his political influence to get $4 million in bribes and kickbacks. Closing arguments delivered yesterday. The prosecution arguing Silver corrupted his office to make himself rich.
What's your bet? Guilty again?
Well, the first time he was guilty, so there are obviously some pretty clear evidence. But again, it depends on the definition of public corruption has been narrowed by the Supreme Court.
I got the Cosby one wrong, so I'm saying he's going down, so we'll see if I can get this
I would agree.
Basically arguing what he did was unethical but not corrupt.
Correct, yeah.
Great.
The defense attorney said it may have been distasteful, but it wasn't illegal. How's that for parsing?
Our news brought to you by Rex Real Estate, your 2% commission real estate agency. Real quickly, the game over for Red Sox pitcher David Price, giving up video games.
Oh, I thought that he was quitting baseball.
No, giving up video games. Apparently, he's hurting his hand. He became addicted to the game Fortnite. This is a hot video game that kids are all playing. Yeah. He said he played it so much, he developed a mild case of carpal tunnel syndrome.
Wow.
His wrist was sore enough that he had to miss a start.
Well, there's a new excuse.
Could need surgery.
Wow.
I think my son might be in that category, too.
So, the game also was a distraction, so he's not going to play video games during the season. Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of knights, the Dark Knight, he has spoken out. Was Matt Harvey a happy Met? We'll get into that when we get back. Plus, we'll check in on Joe Bartlett's golf game.
Really?
Four, five, six.
And your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to traffic with Bernie Biden.
OR.
Welcome, everyone, on a Friday at 6:41. If you're new to the program, where you been? We're wrapping up our 10th week.
Whoa.
Of Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. Obviously, you may know me from my little TV career that I had in sports, but that's history. And Riedel, of course. Well, are you in the Post today? I forgot to look
at
your column.
I am, yes. I'm the Broadway columnist for the New York Post. I have a column about a wonderful show that is happening this weekend in the city. Encores at City Center. They're doing a musical called Me and My Girl that was a big hit in the 80s, but the musical actually goes back to 1937. It has the famous song, The Lambeth Walk, which would have been popular when you were a kid, right?
Lambeth? I don't know the song at all. But
anytime you're Lambeth.
Read my favorite line from the column.
You can hear Michael Riedel every morning.
That's the only thing he reads.
That's all he reads. At the end,
Read the last line.
The last line of the column is, you can hear Michael Riedel every morning on Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
I love that line.
I interviewed the great British writer and actor Stephen Fry, who redid the book to Me and My Girl. The show got terrific reviews in the papers today. It's playing this weekend at City Center. It is a delightful musical comedy, old-fashioned, but will bring a smile to your face.
But what's the last line of the column again?
All right. Hey, we're interactive. You can always reach us if you ever want to weigh in on what we're talking about, 800-321-0710. Maybe you want to tell us your favorite Twilight Zone episode. We'll be telling you ours later this morning. This is, of course, National Twilight Zone Day. Great show. 800-321-0710. You can always email us all directly, even Joe Bartlett. You can email us directly and individually. Go to our website, 710 WOR.com/Len and Michael. We have a Twitter feed from our show at Len Michael WOR. Man, we are so 2018, it's unbelievable. So, you know what time it is every time this morning.
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
Well, let's talk about last night's game. They didn't lose. They were off last night.
That's the good news.
They're off last night. They're in Philadelphia tonight with Steven Matz on the mound.
They're regrouping.
Well, regrouping. All of a sudden, they're one game over 500. So we gotta see if they can stay above water. So if they lose tonight, they're even 500 after their fabulous start. Now, Maybe some eyes from Mets fans on Los Angeles tonight, because that's where Matt Harvey is making his first start for the Cincinnati Reds.
I was very excited. I think I was a little more excited that I was able to come up here and meet the guys so close to where I was working out and doing all that stuff. But obviously I've spent some time in Cincinnati. I play with the Midland Redskins, so having some friends and some familiar places to go back to. It was pretty exciting.
It was exciting to go to the worst team in baseball. That's what, he said.
And he's got to go live in Cincinnati.
He sounds upbeat. He wanted to talk about the Mets, I'm sure.
You know, overall, it was there's a lot of good times. I have a lot of good friends on that team and will for a long time. And I obviously wasn't able to perform the way I wanted to and the way I was expecting to. So, fresh start, I guess you could say, is a nice thing.
So he's a little bit more upbeat than he was with the Mets. He was really, whenever he did an interview, he was like,
he lives in my neighborhood, the West Village in Manhattan.
Not for long.
A great neighborhood, the best restaurants, bars. Right. He lives right along the river in this beautiful, fancy building. And now he's going to be living in Cincinnati.
That's a song. Cincinnati. That's a KRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, I like that. That was a great TV show. Yeah, was KRP in Cincinnati.
So yesterday they started the Players Championship, Michael. Big golf tournament. The Island Green on 17, great par 3. And all the buzz was that Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson were going to be in the same two or threesome. They also, Ricky Fowler played with them. Tiger Woods shot even par, which puts him 6 shots back. Phil Mickelson shot the exact same score that Joe Bartlett shot yesterday. Do you believe this?
When he was 7 over, I said, hey, so was I.
Joe Bartlett and Phil Mickelson both shot 79. Yeah, for Bartlett, this is unbelievable.
That's a career low for me.
That's your best ever?
Yeah.
You never broke 80?
Really?
Never broke 80.
So what happened when you got to 18? Were you all nervous?
No.
What'd you do on 18?
I actually bogeyed it.
So you would have, if you parted, you had 78.
Yeah.
Wow, great round.
What
was
your best shot yesterday?
I had a couple of birdies. And I had an eagle putt on par 5.
Ooh, eagle putt. How long was the putt?
Did you make it?
No, but it was a nice short birdie putt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you. Congratulations, Joey. Not so much to Phil Mickelson.
I owe it to the epic driver from Callaway.
There's a free plug. Let's get up to advertise on the show, folks. Robert in Manhattan. Hey, Robert, your best Twilight Zone episode was?
The Monsters of Maple Street.
Oh, was that?
Remind us of that one, Robert.
Okay. It's a Saturday afternoon in a community, bedroom community, and everybody's having a good time. And all of a sudden, something flies over, and the lights start going out, and automobiles start being turned off.
Oh, yes.
And everybody starts becoming suspicious of neighbors, because in one case, one guy goes out at night and he looks up at the stars, and the kid says, aha, he's really from another planet. And then another one says, there's a guy in my basement next door who talks on a ham radio. And everybody starts getting suspicious of everybody, and things start to happen.
All right, cut to the post. What's the punchline?
The punchline is that at the very end, they're all killing each other. Houses are burning left and right, and there are two aliens on a hill. And once the theater, I didn't realize it was so easy. We just turn their machines off, make them suspicious of each other, and that's the way we'll conquer them. One to the other, one to the other, one to the other.
I remember that. Then it was about the Red Scare and McCarthyism and everyone denouncing communists. That's what that was about. I remember that.
Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it. Coming up next, the Super Pooper wants to tell his story. Oh, you want to have a chance to pay some of your bills? You can win $1,000 perhaps at 7:05 here on 710 WOR.
Hey, you never have to miss Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. Stay connected and listen anywhere with the free iHeartRadio app. Your favorite radio stations plus unlimited streaming music available now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Bernie Viter has traffic.
Happy Friday, everybody. The weekend is upon us.
It is. It's supposed to be a lousy weather weekend.
Tomorrow,
thanks a lot for that.
I was planning a bike ride with my girlfriend, but I guess we'll be staying home watching movies.
The weather keeps, every time you look up, it seems worse. Earlier in the week, Saturday would be great. Sunday, maybe a little showers. And now it looks like a bunch of rain tomorrow and rain Sunday morning. That's not, come on. No. Got to change that.
Not going to be good. Hey, do you remember that school superintendent in New Jersey who was caught pooping.
Yeah.
Pooping by the...
The super pooper?
The super pooper.
Superintendent pooper at a rival school, right?
At a rival school, yeah. Thomas Tremaglini, his name is. He's the Kenilworth Superintendent of Schools. He was caught pooping on the playing field of a rival school. Well, he's got a lawyer now, of course. And the lawyer says that what people are saying about him is not true. My client looks forward to his day in court when he can rebut, with two T's maybe, rebut...
Why are butt jokes so funny still at this age?
He can rebut some of the falsehoods that have been portrayed about him in the media. He's on a paid leave from his $150,000 a year job as superintendent of Kenilworth Schools.
This should be a good explanation. This is going to be a great explanation.
After he defecated.
somebody said to me, yes. And Michael, you're a runner, so maybe...
This guy's a runner. He is a marathon runner.
Right. Apparently, somebody has said that he runs every morning, and maybe that's where he runs. He runs the track for a few times. It's close to his house or whatever. That sometimes running gets things moving, and that might just be his regular time.
Regular routine, his regular constitutional.
But I don't know why you can't find a Dunkin' Donuts or something to run into the bathroom.
Well, you generally... I mean, let's not get into the details. I mean, you generally go before you run. I mean, that's sort of the way you do it.
I was told that the running might turn things up.
I don't know. I mean, listen, I can understand.
I don't know how you get out of this.
I can understand if you want to relieve yourself with, let's call it number one, all right? And you're in the woods or you're on a track or something like that. There's not a bathroom.
There's no reason for this.
Then you go behind a tree and you.
So this is not a good explanation.
When you're running, there's not a bathroom around. Sometimes you go behind the tree to do number one, but you don't get into the squatting position. That is ridiculous.
Okay, we don't have to go into details. Just asking.
Natalie, I think you should be his defense attorney. You had me going there. Hey, when you gotta go. You
know? That's right. Natalie's got the rebuttal.
I've got a couple of college stories here, and then you've got a college story too. But
I have a hottie college story.
Yeah, some more sound has come out of that Yale story. Remember the one student, a grad student fell asleep in the common area, so a white student called the police.
Yeah.
Now they're charging the white student has a history of calling the police. And this got pretty ugly at Yale, and they got some student reaction now for us. And what the students had to think what was going on there.
While I personally haven't had any instances of racial animus here at Yale, I've heard a lot of really bad things from my other black classmates and from people of other races.
Yale. I love a racial animus. That's how they talk at Yale.
That's true.
They're smart kids.
That's true.
That's how I used to speak at Columbia, right?
You know, it's funny. I was at Columbia in the 80s. I don't remember a lot of racial tensions, the kind of racial tensions you have on campuses today.
Well, see, I was at Syracuse.
Well, a different era. That.
No, but I was at Syracuse a little before you, and there was an element of, what do you call it? The blacks would hang out, the whites would hang out. You know, there was a kind of
self-segregation.
Voluntary self-segregation. And I've seen that on football teams, too. I mean, it's not just at college.
I believe that it makes a very serious effort to be inclusive. I believe that it doesn't always succeed, but that it is not for lack of trying.
So they're saying that Yale does try to make everyone inclusive. And just one line out of Rutgers, because Joe had the story yesterday, and he rolled his eyes when he did it, or tried to do it with a straight face, that Governor Phil Murphy signed a bill that allows New Jersey college students who are in the country illegally to obtain financial aid for their education. And Joe was saying, well, just give it to everyone free. Come on. You know, Joe's a New Jersey resident. So anyway, a Rutgers student says, this is not right. He called out Rutgers for privileging illegal immigrants over American citizens and legal immigrants.
Well, my kids got no financial aid to go to Rutgers. They didn't go to Rutgers.
Well, the problem is you were a legal American.
I'm legal, right.
If you're illegal, you get all kinds of stuff, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
The other problem with everything being free, well, it's really not free, because guess who's going to pay for it in the end? The taxpayers of New Jersey, who are already taxed to the max in that state.
You know what? We got plenty to give. Go ahead. Just keep taking it.
How about this Cornell story? Talking about colleges here.
Oh, yes. A Cornell University senior stripped to her bra and underwear during her thesis presentation to protest her professor's contention the week before that her clothing in class was inappropriate. She wore some cut-off jeans, and her professor said, you know, that might be distracting because the male students might be paying more attention to your body than to your thesis presentation. So she showed up to give her presentation, and And I'm looking at the pictures in the New York Post.
Yeah.
She strips, and she's not bad looking at all, I got to say.
Come on, see, now we're going back down that road.
I never saw Joe move so fast. Joe's running over to look at your monitor.
What the professor should have said was, don't you think this is inappropriate in a professional setting? You're here giving your thesis presentation, not do you think men are going to look at you? No, in a professional setting, you don't wear cutoff jeans.
Well, she took off more than her jeans, and I would have been happy to be in that class. Hey, Trump's got a new bromance. It's with Kim Jong-un. We'll talk about that with ABC News correspondent Karen Travers at the White House when we come back. But let's now go to Joe Bartlett and the 7 o'clock news.
At $1,000, now text the keyword cash to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's cash to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Happy Friday, everybody. Today's going to be pretty nice, a high of 72 degrees, but tomorrow the rains come. It's going to be a gray, kind of a yucky day, yeah. And it'll be just okay for Mother's Day.
Just okay, but not terribly warm.
No, only 55 degrees on
Mother's Day. This is, of all the weekends, Mother Nature's not being nice to mothers. With her?
I don't know. No. Well, come on. We need sun for Mother's Day. And mothers, you should sleep in. The kids should be bringing you breakfast in bed. You should not have to go to soccer games like our producer Natalie has to go to. That Mother's Day is the day the kids are supposed to look after the mother, not the mother have to do her usual jobs around the house looking after the kids. So get with it, the Vaca family.
Yeah.
Get on the program here.
Yeah.
In the big three, the SmackDown in Singapore is on the way. Trump is headed June 12th to Singapore.
Line.
I like the SmackDown.
It's like a boxing match.
That's right. No,
this is two heavyweights.
Yeah. Well, the new bromance. He had the bromance with President Macron of France a few weeks ago, but now the new bromance is with Kim Jong-un and President Trump. Two dictators will be getting together, Len.
And, yeah, I don't know. No, that's not fair. But he's taking a little flack, the president is, for calling Kim Jong-un. He did an excellent job with the hostages. I mean, we don't know how horrible it was. I don't know it was so excellent.
Hostages have not been able to speak openly yet.
Yeah, I don't know what really went down there. And I think they're kind of keeping it close to the vest because they don't want to make waves before the big summit on June 12th.
Well, that's just called real politics. What do you want him to do? You want hostages to come home and say, we were mistreated, it was horrible, it was terrible, you shouldn't have any dealings with Kim Jong-un? No, you can't.
Really, no, but that. I don't want the president to call Kim Jong-un just an excellent, wonderful person either, because he's done some crappy things to people.
He certainly has.
But killed relatives and stuff like that.
But you know what? Human rights are not on the program at the summit. It's going to be about trying to scale back the nuclear weapons.
Well, they should be laser-focused on that, and hopefully they'll get that accomplished.
We're going to talk to Karen Travers, ABC News correspondent at the White House, in just a few minutes about that upcoming summit. Also in the big three, Governor Cuomo and Cy Vance have buried the hatchet. They have agreed that Vance will not look into Eric Schneiderman's alleged abusing of women. And they had a little press conference yesterday where they sounded, well, they still sound like they don't really like each other to me, but...
I don't know. To me, it sounded like a hostage video.
I completely understand the governor's decision, and the public deserves to have confidence that there is no conflict involved in our office's representation. I believe the best end result here is for Madeline to investigate these cases in Manhattan.
Well, Madeline is the DA from Nassau. Really? The best outcome is for the Nassau County DA to nose into Manhattan's business?
Well, right? the conflict here was that Eric Schneiderman, before his fall from grace, was looking into why Vance did not go after Harvey Weinstein for the alleged abuses and rape and whatnot. So I think that does compromise Vance, and he could not be a disinterested party now examining Schneiderman because he could possibly have a vendetta against him. So I think Cuomo made the right call here.
Well, the fact that these two were together, this is a real shotgun marriage. I don't know who put this together. I'm not sure it was Cuomo or Vance. I don't know. Someone did.
It was Cuomo. I don't think anyone
really?
Tells, I don't think anybody tells Cuomo what to do. Who's controlling Cuomo? He does what he wants to do.
So, but you're saying he did the shotgun marriage because it was his idea?
I think he... I think he got Vance on the same page. But it looks, it sounds to me, if you listen to Vance's little voice there, like Cuomo strangled him to put him there on the podium, I think.
Yeah.
Also in the Big Three, Mike Pence says, it is time, Len, to wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Wrap up the Mueller investigation. This has been going on forever. It's getting in the way of the president doing business. Pence was out yesterday saying, wrap it up. Let us know what you've got. If anything, Mueller, I agree, Len. It is time for Mueller to come clean.
No, it's not. No, he's got to finish the investigation.
You want it to go on?
No, I don't.
The upcoming midterm election.
I think he should finish the investigation, whatever. I don't know what's going on. No one does. I mean, Joe Bartlett over here says, there's no collusion. You don't know that. Let the investigation
finish. We're almost
finish.
A year and a half.
Okay,
too bad. There's not a trace of collusion.
This isn't a sports event that has a clock. Let the investigation play itself out. I have confidence.
Well, how long do you want to go?
I don't know. Until it's over.
Yeah, until the president's
impeached. It's not over
until
it's over.
He wants to go until the president's impeached.
Yogi Berra said it's not over. I didn't say that. It's not over until it's over. That's all.
All right. But shouldn't you at least have something after a year and a half?
Yeah.
He might have a lot. Look at how many indictments there have been. Guilty pleas.
Yeah, bring something.
Well, he has already.
None of the indictments have anything to do with Russian collusion.
Right.
Okay. Not a single one.
We'll see.
All right.
And to quote the president, we shall see. We shall see.
All right, let's go to a sensible, calm, level-headed person, Karen Travers, down at the White House. Good morning, Karen.
That's very nice to
so,
hear.
So, Karen, should they wrap it up? Come on, right? Too long, right? No.
I'm not weighing in on that question. That's not up for me to decide. Okay. I mean, I think you've seen allies of the president on Capitol Hill say that they shouldn't use that type of language, that they should just let this run its course and then have the, you know, grand conclusion of it, that it could be a fair, proper investigation. By trying to hustle it along, it just doesn't have a good look for the White House. That's what allies of the president have said. Lindsey Graham, Orrin Hatch, people like that.
Mm. Karen, let's talk about the upcoming summit. Now, it is about the nuclear weapons in North Korea. I have not heard, though, much talk about human rights. I mean, we know Kim Jong-un is a brutal dictator. Is Trump going to bring up human rights at all, or is that off the table?
Michael, that hasn't even been remotely addressed in any of the conversations, the statements, and what we've heard of the negotiations ahead of this summit. Now, in previous visits of leaders who have had criticism for human rights issues, certain Middle East leaders, the White House has always said that that is not the president's style, to signal publicly what he might have tough words on behind closed doors, that they think it's better to negotiate that behind the scenes. So I cannot imagine, Michael, that we're going to see the president ahead of this meeting say, and I'm going to demand X, Y, and Z when it comes to a lot of these big picture human rights issues that have been levied at Kim Jong-un. But perhaps it happens behind closed doors.
So, Karen, are all you people in the Washington press corps that cover the president, are all you making plans to go to Singapore on June 12th?
Yes, that is the plan. And we're told it's a one-day session, very high stakes. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, compare this to that marathon trip we did to Asia in November with five countries, 10 days of travel. This is one day. They're going to bring the president to Singapore. Kim Jong-un will meet him there. You know, you can kind of imagine it looking like a couple photo ops. They're not going to have a press conference. And then I would hope we get a big briefing from senior officials to explain exactly what happened. The question is, will there be a big announcement by the president? Will there be something that they shake hands on? Len, yesterday, the president said, I think it's going to be a big success. And here's a line I know you're going to love. He said, but my attitude is, if it isn't, it isn't.
I heard that. I heard him say that. I mean, hey, if it isn't, it isn't, he said.
Yeah. I've been mulling over, you know, the think piece about the caveats that the president issues on a whole range of issues, but especially when it comes to North Korea, he really keeps doing that. I'm very optimistic, but this whole thing could go to, you know, complete disaster in a second. And he's setting up the potential for maybe the meeting is scrapped last minute, or that there isn't the big headline that comes out of it. But it's not the media that's making the expectations here. It's the president who has said, I want to see a denuclearized North Korea. That is what we want to come out of this.
My prediction is the meeting goes to a second day, that they're talking and it's so intense, and we're gonna roll this over to the next day. So,
you're saying we should get refundable flights to be able to change that.
Karen, where is John Bolton in this? Because he's been a hawk on North Korea. Is he one of the sort of let's not get ahead of ourselves here around the president?
We haven't seen that, any indication of that, Michael. I mean, he is certainly playing a very critical role in this. I mean, this week, remember earlier this week when the Iran nuclear agreement was the big headline?
Yeah.
Bolton was very front and center in that. He was a very big push to get the U.S. out of it. So if the president had any, you know, reconsiderations over the last couple of weeks, I think that Bolton perhaps pushed him across the finish line on it because, of course, he was getting a really hard sell from U.S. allies like Macron and Merkel to stay in. I think it's no surprise that Bolton comes in with that very hawkish attitude, but the president had started talking about this meeting with Kim Jong-un even before John Bolton joined the administration.
All right, Karen Travers, ABC News White House correspondent. Karen, we'll check in with you when the president has cleared space on a shelf for the Nobel Peace Prize.
There you go.
Everybody's saying he should get it, but he wouldn't say that.
That's no. Right.
All right, Karen Travers,
thanks, Karen.
Down at the White House.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. So, I was surprised to hear this is going to be just a one-day affair. I thought it would be... Well, summit usually lasts a few days.
That's why I have a sneaking suspicion that they say, well, we're getting to some really substantive issues, and we're gonna roll this over for a second day. That wouldn't surprise me.
And remember when presidents used to have those summits in Camp David, and they would go for long walks in the woods, and then they'd come back, and they'd announce a big agreement? A summit that lasts one day, it's a lot of... You know, that's a lot of air travel just for a day in Singapore.
From our standpoint, I still want to see how Kim Jong-un travels. I mean, there must be a North Korean airline. They're not going to take his super secret train over there to Singapore.
I did hear a report that in the past he could not have gone to Singapore because they didn't have planes that could fly that far.
they do now?
They have planes with wings on them, which step forward in North Korea.
So they have intercontinental ballistic missiles,
but they don't have airplanes.
Supposedly deliver nuclear weapons, yes. And they can't fly from North Korea to Singapore?
No, they were saying that if they, back in the day, a plane would have had to stop to refuel to get to Singapore, and that would have been humiliating for the head of North Korea to make a pit stop.
Well, maybe just strap them to the back of a rocket, you know, like in the Roadrunner cartoons.
Speaking of rockets, Ellen, heating up there in the Middle East, I mean, we had details yesterday about Israel's strike at Iranian Air Force bases, but it's coming out now that Israel really took out all of the structures and the Air Force stuff that Iran had built in Syria. So
good.
I tell you, they lob a few rockets at Israel, and Israel just bombs the crap out of you.
Good.
That's the way it should be.
Way to do it.
Coming up next, Governor Cuomo and Manhattan DA Cy Vance have buried the hatchet. We'll tell you all about that. And Eric Schneiderman, smiling Schneiderman, he's promising to fight back against those accusations. And you could be the lucky winner of $1,000 in your wallet. Coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. Now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Byer.
OR.
Yeah, 7:24, nice Friday for you. Weekend doesn't look so hot. In about 6 minutes... We'll give you the opportunity to call in and win a pair of tickets to the Subway Series, Mets-Yankees, June 9th. Don't call now. Wait till we give you the signal to call. Some good tickets at 7:30. We'll have more Mets tickets at 8:30.
Do you have a prediction who will win that Subway Series?
Well, let's wait till we get a little closer. All right, we got some emails. Some positive, some not so.
Fire away.
You can email us directly at our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. Well, we were talking about Mike Pence, and you and Joe Bartlett all agree, wrap up the Mueller investigation.
Yep.
So Ryan emailed me and said, length of Watergate investigation. Five men arrested June 17th, 1972. Nixon resigns 8/8/74. That's over 2 years and 2 months later. Yeah, the Mueller investigation is taking too long. Sigh. And let's see.
Well, we're already a year and a half into the Mueller investigation.
Yeah, so we're getting close. And someone else, I don't know what this person's first name is, but says we got poor coverage. No mention of the five ISIS who were captured. Is that true? Did we cover that, Joe Bartlett? Come on, you're Mr. Newsman. You've been covering the five ISIS guys?
Well, no, because it was just a quick tweet from the president yesterday. I don't remember seeing much more detail on that.
Right. I did see some names associated.
I saw some pictures of some guys.
Yeah, one was associated with Baghdadi, supposedly. I don't know.
Well, Joe Bartlett will have it for us at the 7:30 news.
You know what? It's out there.
It's out there. So I hope our coverage just improved a little bit for you. So I'm sorry that we've got poor coverage. Now... Eric Schneiderman's lawyer has piped up after we now know that the Nassau County District Attorney is investigating and that New York NYPD is, you know, will there be charges? Now, he has hired, she's called a high-powered criminal defense attorney, Isabel Kirshner, and her statement is, Schneiderman appreciates the serious allegations against them.
Oh, he does?
Yes, he appreciates them. We will respond to them at the proper time. While we are confident that this investigation will result in no criminal charges, should charges be brought, we intend to defend our client vigorously.
That is total lawyer BS. If you read the New Yorker piece, he hit these women. He left welts on some of them. One of them had to go to a doctor because she had ringing in her ear after he hit her. That is called assault. And the lawyer will speak up when the cops come and put handcuffs on Schneiderman.
You think he will be arrested?
I think he will be, really? Yes. Yes.
Now, the story came out. This is in the New York Post. So Michael Riedel, who writes for the Post, this must be true. Schneiderman did leave his apartment. We saw him leave the other day, and he smiled for photographers.
Dopey smile.
But Michael was wondering if he ever came back and how he got in and out. Well, apparently, according to the Post, he had a paint-splattered maintenance worker at his swank Upper West Side apartment building run interference for him.
Yes, the guy's name is Henry. And according to Henry, Henry told the Post that Schneiderman went up to him and said, Henry, will you walk in front of me because the press out there are waiting for me? Now, I love this guy. Schneiderman, right? He used to have a security detail. You know, I bet he felt Mr. Important. He probably had a few Secret Service guys with him wherever he went, getting in and out of his SUV. And now his security detail is Henry the Paint Man.
Oh, boy.
You better tip Henry Schneiderman this Christmas. You better tip him.
Hey, you know, the first name I thought of to replace him, now obviously this goes through the legislature, so this guy's not going to get it, but the first name I thought of was Preet Bharara.
Yeah.
And he has been around. I know you say you haven't seen him much, but I've seen, he pops up quite a bit on CNN, and he has his own podcast, and he hasn't ruled out running for state attorney general.
But it is a really important job, and it's especially important now when the rule of law is under attack, when we still have pockets of corruption everywhere you look. So it's a tough thing to think about.
Well, right now there is the assistant who's filling in temporarily. Some people think they should just leave her until the end of the year, and then, of course, there's the election in November.
My two cents, for what it's worth, and probably will not be heeded, is that they should not have a dog and pony show in the state legislature, and they should do the thing that makes the most obvious sense, at least to me, and that is appoint as interim attorney general Barbara Underwood.
Yeah, so let her be the interim until the end of the year. It's only, what are we talking, six, 7 months?
And she's completely qualified to do it, and then let the voters decide who should be the attorney general. I mean, I suspect Cuomo wants to hand pickets as another way for Cuomo to exert his power over everything, but let the voters decide who should be the next attorney general, and maybe it should be a woman. Probably should be a woman.
Well, a lot of people are saying that.
Should be a woman.
Just for what's going
Barbara
on.
Barbara Underwood is supremely qualified to do it.
So obviously we're waiting to see, will Schneiderman be charged? Will Harvey Weinstein ever be charged?
And here's the big question. How many people do you think are listening to Preet Bharara's podcast?
Why not?
Have you ever listened to Preet Bharara's podcast?
No, people have long commutes. You know, they need things to occupy your time.
You want to stay awake when you're driving.
No, you need to listen to us.
Exactly.
You're not listening
to Preet Bharara.
Right. Jesus. And listen to this, most of all. The crack of the bat, because now is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Yankees June the 9th at Citi Field. This is driven by your Tri-Honda dealers. Be caller number 20. Caller 20, 800-321-0710. You'll be the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. Let's check the latest news headlines. Hopefully we won't have poor coverage here, Joe, because this listener says our coverage is poor. Try to step it up a little, will you? Here's Joe Bartlett.
Look, real quickly on the ISIS thing. I mean,
he's defending himself.
No, I mean, I give you five names. Does it mean anything to you?
Can you even pronounce the five names?
No, exactly. I mean, we got five ISIS guys. Good. Next. All right.
Shoot him.
Oh, the coverage is getting... It's
so sensitive.
It's better already.
2 9-year-old girls in critical condition after being pulled from a fire in Queens. Now, that's a big story here. Fire officials say they found them in a second-floor bedroom at a home on 71st Street early today.
They were running out with the children. Kids were not responsive.
No word on the cause of the fire. A third person suffered less serious injuries. Six firefighters also hurt there. Six people injured when a car slammed into a deli in Chelsea. This happened last night. A yellow taxi and livery cab collided at West 21st Street. The livery cab then went into the deli. Three of the injuries serious. Police looking to see if the driver of one of those cars may have run a red light. President Trump says he's seeking a future of peace and security for the world. He will meet on June 12th in Singapore with the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
We're going to set the table. We're going to make a great deal for the world, for North Korea, for South Korea, for Japan, for China.
Oh, it's going to be so good. Trump says this will be a much better deal than John Kerry made with Iran.
Okay. He sounds like, who is that guy doing a campaign?
On
to Washington.
Howard Dean. He sounds like Howard Dean.
And we're going to, on to.
Not even close.
No.
I did think of that myself, though, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. I did.
That's what it sounded like.
North Korea, South Korea, East Korea, West Korea.
Our news brought to you by Paul Miller BMW in Wayne, New Jersey. Shop online at paulmillerbmw.com. How about this story? We had the Starbucks issue in Philadelphia with the cops being called on these black guys sitting there. Cops were called when three black women were checking out of an Airbnb in California. One of the women says the cops were called because she didn't wave or smile at a white person.
No.
They saw saw this woman. They said she was looking at them. It's an elderly woman looking at them, and they said to themselves, I bet she calls the cops. Sure enough, she did. Body cam video and audio of the incident indicates somebody apparently thought these departing Airbnb guests were stealing things. Listen to this.
There's like three black people stealing stuff.
Stealing stuff?
Yeah. Like breaking into the house and taking things.
No, we're taking our suitcases out of the house.
Right.
Yeah. They were taking their suitcases out of the house. One woman explained that the cops were... they explained that they were renting this thing. But you know what? It took 20 to 45 minutes, she says, to clear it all up.
Wow.
The attorney for the women say they want the woman who called the cops to be held accountable now.
Well, yeah, I think she should be. I mean, what was the police charge? Being black and not smiling?
Yeah, that's what they claim.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know what you can do to the woman who called the cops.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Not much there. But
well, false something. I'm filing a false complaint. I have something. Hey, when we get back, crying Chuck Schumer.
That away, Len.
He's trolling President Trump. I think he was the winner in this one. On Twitter. So Chucky getting cute on Twitter. Plus, what would you do with $1,000 extra bucks? Well, find out if you're a winner coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. Now, Bernie Viter has traffic.
Happy Friday, everybody, and it's very happy for our lucky winner of Mets tickets, Len.
And we love it when a regular listener, we love all listeners, but
we love all listeners.
Pete Murphy from Belrose Village in Queens is a regular listener. Congratulations, Peter. You are going to see the Mets and Yankees June 9th. We'll have more tickets for you at 8:30. So, by the way, during Joe Bartlett's newscast, you and I had the same thoughts. They were on the same wavelength.
Right.
Because he played this soundbite of the president from the Indiana rally last night.
We're going to set the table. We're going to make a great deal for the world, for North Korea, for South Korea, for Japan, for China.
And we both had the exact same thought.
We're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Yeah! Howard Dean flames out.
And why did that flame him out? I mean, I don't like
because
the enthusiasm.
He was a nut job.
Because he sounds nutty.
And also, you have to see him, too. Remember, his eyes had the crazed look, and he was waving his hands around as if he was going to traffic with Bernie Viter or something there. He was a nutcase. Trump was a little out of control, but not nearly as nut a job as Howard Dean
was. But we both thought of Howard Dean. It was just kind of funny.
I know. Howard Dean never got to the White House, though, and guess who did?
Yes, he did.
Donald J. Trump. President Donald J. Trump.
Just laughing because we were talking at 6 a.m. when we came on the air, and Joe Bartlett was talking about all that Donald Trump has accomplished. I said, well, what's his biggest accomplishment? He said, he won. And I said, really? Because because the president likes to say that I've accomplished more than anybody. Well, every president won, so you start out on equal footing.
Come on, Len. You have to admit that the victory that Donald Trump, maybe improbably, maybe unintentionally engineered, was one of the greatest upsets in the history of American
politics. You know what? Yes, to a point, but I'm going to give you the caveat, because from in the sports world, sometimes a team wins and sometimes the other team lost.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to really be objective and figure it out. Did he win or did Hillary lose? That's what you have to ask. And I think to a certain degree, Hillary lost. She was a bad candidate.
She was a terrible candidate, and she ran a terrible campaign. Trump stumbled into something. He touched on something.
He did.
He touched on voters who had been neglected.
Absolutely.
People that Hillary Clinton and the liberal elites, the working class white man, they thought dead, doesn't matter. Well, it's still there, and they were in the right states, and they voted for Trump.
And when she came up with the line, deplorables, I think that was the death knell.
Yeah.
You don't go calling names of the voters of your opponent. I mean, that's a killer right there.
Yeah, no, she was a lousy candidate, and Trump is going to North Korea, going to South Korea. Yeah! Yeehaw! Trump got into it with Schumer the other day. Now, remember, Schumer was against the Iran deal that Obama made. Remember this, Len?
Sure.
He was against it. He was publicly against it. But now that Trump has pulled out of it, Schumer then criticizes Trump for pulling
Correct.
Out of
it. Well, that makes sense.
So here's what the president tweeted. Senator crying Chuck Schumer fought hard against the bad Iran deal, even going at it with President Obama, and then voted against it. Now he says I should not have terminated the deal, but he doesn't really believe that. Same with Comey. Thought he was terrible until I fired him. Well, I think Trump's got a point there. Don't you?
Yeah, he has a point.
Schumer's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Schumer's a total hypocrite.
Schumer, I don't know if he's a total hypocrite, but I understand.
How is he not a hypocrite if he's against the Iran deal, vocally against it, votes against it,
yeah,
when Obama makes it, right? Now Trump pulls out of it, and Schumer says, oh, that was the mistake.
Maybe he evolved.
Is that not? Oh, please.
Come on, Trump used to be a pro-abortion. You evolve, you know?
Schumer didn't
Things
evolve.
Happen.
Anything Trump does, Schumer is against.
Yeah, but he had Schumer had a very cute comeback on Twitter. For him, I mean, he's not known for his subtlety and sense of humor. I thought, very cute.
Hashtag be best, which is Melania Trump's initiative to stop bullying.
This is not bullying. So when Trump is calling him crying Chuck Schumer, and Schumer just goes back, be best. That's pretty cute, right, Natalie?
I'm
not that cute. I don't think it's that cute.
I thought it was pretty funny because I think it's going to become a thing.
Be best?
Yeah. Whenever somebody says
Right.
Yeah. Whenever somebody trolls you on the internet or.
You just say be best.
You can just write hashtag be best.
Be best. Well, there is an, I grant you, there is an irony that Melania Trump is against bullying and cyberbullying, when you could make the case that Donald Trump
sometimes
has a tendency to be a bit of a bully.
Could?
In cyberspace.
Oh, don't you want to know what Schumer has to say about this Korea thing?
Oh, I can't. I want to hear what Schumer has to say about everything.
American citizens are not diplomatic bargaining chips. So while we celebrate the return of the three Americans for the sake of their freedom and their families, we should not feel like we need to give Kim Jong-un anything in return.
Schumer is unbelievable. He will not concede anything that Trump does correctly, Trump accomplishes.
But that's not a bad point. I mean, you're not going to make a trade with a guy based on getting three hostages back.
There is no trade here. That was a gesture of goodwill on North Korea's part before the summit begins. That's what it was.
Their release should not be exalted. It should be expected. It is no great accomplishment of Kim Jong-un to do this.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, How long has that bad suit been our senator?
He's the senior senator from New York.
God, I can't take it. We used to have great senators.
We had some good ones.
Daniel Patrick Moynihan.
Yeah, Moynihan was
Chuck Schumer is no Daniel Patrick Moynihan. I can tell you that, Len. All right?
Okay. You told me.
Hey, when we come back, you won't hear R. Kelly's music on Spotify's playlist.
Good. I have a real good. I'm glad. I'll tell you what.
But you will be hearing from Harvey Weinstein's wife. She's come out. First time she hasn't said very much about her awful, horrible husband, but she has now gone on the record. We will tell you what she has to say when we get back. Plus, I want to write your name on a $1,000 check. Pay to the order of, that could be you, because your chance to win $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WR. And now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Biden.
Welcome back. As we approach 7:54, Spotify, the music industry's leading streaming service, they're going to stop promoting and putting in their playlist R. Kelly and another guy whose name I can't pronounce, Triple X Tentacion, I guess is his name. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. Noel, I don't
see you're a big fan.
Anyway, R. Kelly is accused of all kinds of stuff and abuse and you know, bad behavior is basically why Spotify is turning against these guys. There have been several charges against Kelly over the years. Yeah. But you probably know his music, Michael.
I believe I can fly.
Oh, I like this song.
I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away.
And I think there was a charge of, I think there was something with young girls. Anyway, R. Kelly was charged with some stuff. And let me tell you why I'm glad. Because my son used to work at a recording studio.
Uh-huh.
R. Kelly showed up one time at 3 in the morning and demanded that he be able to use the studio and record. And my son, who was working there as a kid, he basically said, no, you can't use the studio. You don't have authorization. I don't have paperwork or anything. And Kelly put up this big stink. My son wouldn't let him use the studio. The next day, Kelly called my son's boss and demanded that my son be fired.
Wow.
And thank God the boss defended my son as opposed to this guy, a client who was going to spend a lot of money and was famous, named R. Kelly. Ooh. So I think he's a bad dude.
So R. Kelly has not been on your playlist for some time.
For a very long time, even though the song's pretty good.
Alexa, will you play R. Kelly?
No, don't.
I don't want to play. Not in the Len Berman household.
Not at all.
Not at all. Hey, Harvey Weinstein's wife, Georgina Chapman, is speaking out about... about the end of her marriage. She told Vogue that she was humiliated and broken when the claims came out against her husband. She said it took her about 2 days to absorb the information. It was difficult because the first article was about a time long before I'd ever met him, so there was a minute where I couldn't make an informed decision. And then the stories expanded, and I realized that this wasn't an isolated incident, and I knew that I needed to step away and take the kids out of here. So she fled to Los Angeles, then to London. She did not want to go out in public. She said, I thought what I had was a happy marriage. I loved my life. She is now planning, apparently, to move to upstate New York, a farm, some sort of secluded farm with her kids, and go undercover, as her husband may well be going to jail at some point.
She knew nothing about it, she says, huh?
She says she knew nothing. I can believe that. I think Harvey Weinstein is one of these guys, they call them compartmentalizers, where I think he can go home to the wife and the kids and be the happy dad, the good husband, the dutiful father. And then there's that other side of him when he's away from the family where he's the predator, the alleged rapist, the nasty, brutal thug that we know him to be.
Hey, if I asked you what were the biggest TV weddings, what were the biggest TV weddings? Do you have any suggestions?
I would say Luke and Laura in General Hospital.
Luke and Laura, General Hospital, 1981, still the top rated episode of any soap opera ever.
Right, okay.
And maybe a little before your time. Tiny Tim, remember Tiny Tim?
Oh, yes, he got married on The Tonight Show.
On The Tonight Show to Miss Vicky.
Yes.
Tiptoe through the tulip with me.
Okay.
I got to tell you, Len, I have a memory of Tiny Tim on The Tonight Show. He creeped me out. That guy scared me when I was a kid.
Well, he married Miss Vicky. I was a big deal. I remember we watched it. Anyway, the reason I bring this up was because last night on The Big Bang Theory...
Amy, do you take Sheldon for your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
And Sheldon, same thing!
Sheldon and Amy got married on season 11 finale of The Big Bang Theory. You know who came in and officiated there?
Who?
Mark Hamill of Star Wars.
Oh, well.
Little plot thing there that had to do with a lost dog, whatever. Anyway.
Is there another famous wedding out there? Another famous TV Land wedding? I'm trying to remember. Luke and Laura, that was the number one.
Right.
Was there no, Dallas was the shooting of JR.
Yeah, that was the shooting.
That was the big thing.
But this is the vows that were exchanged last night, Sheldon and Amy, Michael. Mm.
Amy, I usually know exactly what to say, but in this moment, I have no words. I guess I'm overwhelmed by you in a good way. Not in the elevator in the Haunted Mansion way.
I remember the elevator in the Haunted Mansion. Remember the portraits? The portraits go up at the haunted mansion.
The first time I was there, I was about 6 years old. I got so scared, I started crying. They actually took me off the ride in some secret door.
Oh, really?
Yes, with my grandfather.
Oh, I do remember in the crystal ball, there's the head over, just as you leave the haunted mansion.
It's
there's
pretty
the
cool.
head, and she says, "Hurry back."
That was pretty
Hurry
cute.
Back. Be sure to bring your death certificate.
All right. Well, here we gave Sheldon giving his vow. Let's give Amy her due.
Okay.
From the first moment in that coffee shop, I knew that there was something special between us. Even though I did work on a study that disproved love at first sight.
These are like very brainy people. So this is
that is a bucket of glop.
So there they go. One line on Aaron Sorkin. Go.
Aaron Sorkin, his play, the adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird, was tied up in a lawsuit. It has been settled, and the play will now come to Broadway.
When?
Next year, next spring.
Okay, very good.
It's going to be good. I read the script.
You know, President Trump says he wants peace and security for the world. He rallied with supporters in Indiana. Plus, you could win a grand after the 8 o'clock news.